information is free.
The law.
There is hope.
When ignorance is converted into knowledge.
Tonight we care.
Appear to border
it shows.
The law.
And obey.
The country.
You will remember nine you have seen or heard here.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not cooperate, it made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.
'Tis now the very witching time of night when churchyards yawn and hell itself breathes out contagion to this world. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 192 of Media Monarchy. It's October 29th, 2010. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com. It's Halloween weekend with the red right hand. Prop 19, Selection Day and the Jester's Rally, the DC Plot, COINTELPRO and Dark Memories, Econo Crash, 99 Weeks, and the Wellstone Files, plus Ancient Evils, Clyde Lewis, live in studio in the second hour of this amazing Halloween weekend. It's October 29th, 2010, episode 192 of MediaMonarchy.com. Arctic Monkeys with the B-side from their last single Crying Lightning with the cover of the now classic Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds Soon Red Right Hand. And I think that sets the table quite well for this Halloween weekend, my friends. It's October 29th, 2010, and this is episode 192 of Media Monarchy. My name's James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. And I should just tell you right now, our opening quote, "'Tis now the very witching time," comes from Act 3, Scene 2 of course, Hamlet. We're broadcasting live, as always, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. on the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org. And, of course, huge thanks to all the great affiliates who rebroadcast the show, and especially those who carry it live, such as the fine folks at ZeroPointRadio.com. Blasting out live worldwide on ZeroPointRadio.com, as well as 92.3 FM and 1670 AM in Casper, Wyoming. Hello to the growing ZeroPointRadio.com audience in Casper, Wyoming. And, of course, hello to the worldwide home of free speech, RevereRadio.net, simulcasting 1 p.m. live on the East Coast now, October 29th. And, of course, Free Radio Olympia, frolympia.org, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, OneSkyRadio.com, Patriot Radio in La Mesa, Texas, Radio23.org for getting the high-quality versions for you to rebroadcast on your alternative media outlet, whatever it may be. And, of course, you know the ways to get in touch. Face, Space, Twitter, Tube, Ustream, Blip, Cafe Press, Gmail. Of course, send newstips, MediaMonarchy at gmail.com. We're on Skype, Instant Messenger, iTunes, RadioForAll.net, and Archive.org, all with Media Monarchy as your keyword. And we implore you to help out the independent alternative media with a little bit of donation. No donations in the last week to report and thank to you, so again, I'll put the call out to help keep this going. Of course, not getting rich off of this, and that's never been the idea. It's about the passion. But there are those pesky Skype credits and domain names and DJ dues and those things that keep all of this rolling. And again, I'm a one-man band spinning a lot of plates for you. Of course, tomorrow being the 72nd anniversary of the amazing Orson Welles' War of the Worlds PSYOP, and there's been so much talk of Back to the Future and Charlie Chaplin and time travel and all kinds of bizarre memes that we are going to get into in this episode. As we do, we always glance at the breaking news of what's going on this Friday morning. No lack of news. Bomb on plane in UK raises concerns in US. This is from CNN 1 hour ago. Some airports were on high alert Friday after investigators found a suspicious package aboard a plane flying from Yemen to Chicago. So headline says bomb, article says suspicious package. More shots at Marine Museum in what they're now calling an evolving sniper case. DC area gunman with a grievance against the Marines. FBI says same gun used the second time in military-related shootings. We, of course, have more reports of the GDP. Our domestic product is gross. But that's not going to stop the Wall Street banksters. God, they love America. And they love to pull the rug out from under it while they get away and sneak out the back door. I believe that takes care of all of my notes and all of my business. And we're going to have a little change of plans. My man Clyde Lewis is now in the building in our modest studios here at the Portland Radio Authority. So I'm going to go ahead and invite him in, and we'll go ahead and get this thing going, because we've got so much to discuss. Let's just, yeah, just come on in, man. I believe you'll notice your microphone and headphones are all set up.
There we go. Is it up and ready to go?
Give us a check.
Check, check, check. One, two. There we go. I'm perfectly on. That's great.
All right.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, you
now,
bet.
I started to, you know, kind of promote it before you were totally confirmed. It's like, maybe I shouldn't quite do that, but...
Well, I had to get up early this morning because I realized that the mode of transportation to this area of town is a... It would take me another hour if I waited any longer, so I happened to be in early, so I guess early is better than nothing. So.
It can be really difficult, and of course, I think the way our TriMet is what it's referred to here, the public transportation here in Portland, Oregon, is called TriMet.
Right.
And it's been called the best in the nation, but just over the last several months and even years, it's just been fumbling and failing, and they raise prices and cut service. And
they were protesting the other day over at the courthouse. I was over on the KUFO show, the morning show there.
The employees.
Yeah. I was with Kid Chris and Marconi, and they were telling me that they were looking out their door watching the protesters. I was going, what are they protesting? They get paid nearly, what, $100,000 a year, and they get cosmetic surgery on their insurance. So I don't have a problem with that. Got to have bus drivers looking hot, you know what I'm saying? A lot of wrestling and Botox. That always works.
Well, and Portland is, I think, an interesting place that I don't think is exactly a microcosm of a lot of other cities. I'd like to think, and this has been sort of the hopeful thing I think I bring up a lot, is that if and when it hits the fan, I'd like to think that a place like Portland would be a little better suited to roll with whatever punches those may be in the form of communities and gardening and just the...
Well, we have a lot of community areas that I really love about this city, and it's something that I didn't have when I lived elsewhere. But one of the things that I miss is I moved into a place called Tigard. And the more you move away from Portland, the more you find that it's the dystopia known as, you know, the suburbs, where strip malls are everywhere. They even have bars in strip malls and strip clubs in strip malls.
I can thankfully say I can't remember the last time I've laid eyes on a Walmart or a big box store.
And I'm beginning to realize why Portland always objects to Walmarts when they get built, because it changes the whole vibe. And, you know, when you go to a place, in fact, this morning I woke up and I said, I got to get out to see James. So I went and grabbed the first coffee I saw, and it tasted like battery ass. And I'm thinking, God, get me into town where I have good coffee and good people talking to me. And I ran into people on the street that recognized me, and I go, this is my home. I love it. So, yeah, there's a lot of good things about Portland, Oregon that, you know, sometimes we take for granted, especially when we move out to the country where I live now, which is amazingly weird. So there you go.
I bet. So I don't think you've been to our new studios here. You've been an in-studio guest on Media Monarchy, I believe, twice, but those were both at our other studios.
Right, and those were immediately downtown. I had to crawl up 6 flights of stairs to get to you. So.
And this is nice ground floor.
Yes, nice ground floor, door right there. Hello, everybody. I'm in here, and I'm happy. So, yeah, it's great.
So I think at that point, you were still doing the show at Dante's.
Yes, I was. I was doing the lounges there, yes.
A weekly... Monday night, I believe it was.
Monday night. I was doing the same kind of, a little bit of I guess you could say, a smaller version of my multimedia shows. They were kind of, you know, they weren't as, I guess you could say, in-depth as they are now, where I do them at the Lodge. And now I'm doing my radio show, too. So not only am I doing radio, and I'm doing it at KUFO, but I'm also doing it at the Lodge and putting together these shows, which I'll be doing tonight. And also, I just got finished with a special on the Learning Channel called Return to the Bermuda Triangle, where I was on that as well.
Which I've not been able to find a download of yet. It's not on the BitTorrent.
I wish it was, because I've been hearing all kinds of things about the show and how it comes off. And I was with my girlfriend, and we were watching it the other day, and she says, I only put in the parts where you're there. And I'm going, oh, sweetheart, that's so kind. But I'd like to see how I am in context. And then she said, now notice how they have the light on you. And she's giving me the whole, you know, the whole rundown of how the light's on me and stuff. So, she wanted to say, well, next time, what can we do to improve your look on TV? And I'm going, well, I think I'm okay. And she goes, well, yeah, you look really good on TV. She says, and up close, you know, I can see every blemish and every error and everything else. And I'm going, oh, that's why I have you in my life, baby.
And then you put it on HD and it's even,
oh, God,
even crazier.
I hope that if I'm going to be converting over to TV, which I've been doing, that HD is kind to me, because I was watching Johnny Depp and Alice in Wonderland. Oh, my God. You can see the Mad Hatter had pimples. And this guy's like, what, 48 years old?
Mm-hmm.
He'll never grow up. He's probably, you know, he probably got turned somewhere in some vampire lair, and he's maybe, you know. But no, I mean, and you can also see where they put the makeup on his head when he was doing the Mad Hatter. So
well, that brings an interesting idea that he is a sort of maybe even modern-day Peter Pan, never grow up kind of character. So yeah. I referenced just a few minutes ago, and I believe I saw that this was a bit of chatter on, because you and I were both on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, I think, easy ways. I've always pretty much used it to promote the website.
Yeah.
And connecting with all kinds of people is another, you know, added bonus to it. But
exactly.
I essentially use it as a way just to put out news and articles and the shows and all things Media Monarchy related. I was always a huge Back to the Future fan.
Yes.
Growing up. Mm-hmm. And we just had 25th anniversary. Good God.
Yeah, Michael J. Fox came out. It was at the Scream Awards.
They did, yeah. So they had the cast reunion, and I think it all ties in with they released it on Blu-ray and all of those things. But surrounding that, the time traveler idea is this meme about the chaplain.
Oh, the chaplain cell phone thing.
Time traveler thing.
Oh, my God. You know what's interesting about this is that I read all the arguments that people are making for this. And they're talking about the Siemens, what is known as it's a hearing aid that they had where people put up to their ear. My Aunt Camille had one of those because he was not necessarily my great uncle. She had married like several times, but he worked for the phone company and he was hard of hearing. His name was O.P. Hesser and he was with the phone company. And he had one of those. But see, one of the things about those Siemens, they had a wire. And you could see the wire coming off of it because it went to a battery. It had a battery and a wire. It's a strange apparatus. So looking at that woman talking and on what it looks like a cell phone, people said, oh, it's more logical to think it's some sort of hearing aid. No, you know what's really interesting is that when you use Occam's razor, it's the most logical explanation save anything else. You look at the identities of what's going on. The first impression you see is someone on a cell phone. So the speculation... So the speculation is that she's using an earphone device.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious thing you're seeing is a woman on a cell phone or a man in drag on a cell phone. So, I mean, this is where it turns into an enigma. You cannot logically explain it unless you were there. And so when people are sitting there going, oh, it's a earphone. No, it doesn't have to be an earphone or a headphone or a Siemens talking aid or whatever. It could be a woman just talking to herself with her hand up to her ear, but that's highly improbable. So maybe it's a woman on a cell phone, and maybe she's a time traveler, and maybe, you know, it's just a bizarre thing. Yeah,
I do find it really interesting the way that these things kind of pop up and these things that I think both you and I kind of have in common in our shows is that we do try and follow these strange kind of media, what I call media memes.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, not something, and this is always something, this is maybe where you and I may differ a bit. And I've caught grief before of somebody, you know, discovering my site through a larger community and saying, you've got stuff about UFOs from some Clyde guy, and you're going to ruin your credibility.
Oh, yeah. I hear that all the time about me, too. I'm going to ruin my credibility. Listen, if you guys aren't going to pay attention to this, you know, life is an interesting journey, okay? And if you're going to stick your head so far up your ass that you're going to be having it all having to do with politics and all having to do with who's screwing who, you know what? There's other stuff going on in the world besides your precious little politics where they don't give a damn about you anyway. And so I don't know why you get so into them. You know, they're screwing you. Figure it out. So I you know, and I call them the dancing bears, you know, because even Captain Kangaroo had dancing bears. That's what Bob Keeshan used to say. Well, you know, I can tell the kids about ping pong balls and moose, but they really love it when the dancing bears come out. Well, that's what I call these things. They're called dancing bears. Yeah, sure, I can talk about Obama, and I can talk about Bush and Cheney and how I want them all hanging and everything else. But the truth is that, you know, when it really comes down to it, these things are the icing on the cake. And as my good buddy Rex Church says from the Church of Satan, he says, these are the normal things. The other stuff, that's the paranormal. So I agree with him.
And I find that with Media Monarchy that a lot of the more sort of pop culture, occult symbolism and corporate logos, a lot of these sorts of things I touch on the site, but I don't go into great detail.
No.
There are things that I'm interested in, you know, on my own, and there are things that I may look into and explore. But I feel like with the site is if I can't get people to wrap their head around the Federal Reserve is neither federal and has no reserve, if I can't get the basics, then how am I going to start hitting people with the double cross
Exxon logo? What you do is you take pop culture. You take pop culture and news and you mix it all together. What's in the pop culture right now? Every popular show on television right now, The Event, Fringe, you know, these pop, V of all things, they're all around this predictive programming idea that we should prepare for something, that something's about to go down. That and then time travel. You got Fringe, that's all about time travel. Flash Forward is about time travel. The idea that there's dimensions, the idea that with CERN there are dimensions that can be established. They're already talking about the possibility they can break into the 11th dimension. If all of these things are part of pop science and pop, what I call pop paranormal, then there's every reason that you should be covering them. covering them, and that you know, I cover them all the time, and I get people to think about, you know, and it's not that I'm believing it, it's that I want you to consider it. And that's the whole thing. Consider these stories and then try to work them into why people act the way they do. People are moved by these things. They actually move on their myths and their belief systems, and that's what I talk about. It's not about, I want you to believe in UFOs. I want you to consider them. That's what I want you to do. So.
Well, and that is the beliefs, I think, takes us to the weekend we're entering. We're coming up on Halloween. We're coming up on this bizarre, contentious election season that we've seen.
Yeah.
Of course, you covered the Christine O'Donnell situation.
That's another thing. Christine O'Donnell. What? We're talking about politics. What creeps in? Witchcraft. Okay, so if what I'm talking about isn't relevant, then why the hell did we even give a damn about whether or not she was a witch? Are you a good witch or a bad witch? No, you're a bad liar is what you are. And that's the thing, is that if you can see that there is paranormal within the normal and that people are affected by it, that's when you realize that, yes, what I'm talking about does have some credibility and it does have merit, and you should consider it, because these people believe. It's not what I believe, it's what they believe, and they are the ones that are running the country. So if they believe this stuff, you're going to have to deal with their belief systems, not your own.
And I believe I just saw this morning something maybe on Twitter or wherever it was that the O'Donnell camp has basically tried to nix the whole date story
because it was a lie in the first place,
and now they're saying, oh no, that didn't happen at all.
She didn't date a witch, and she didn't dabble in witchcraft at all. She just said it because she wanted to look cool in front of all those guys that she was sitting in that panel with on Bill Maher's show. And it's been done before. Many Christians, they don't feel like their lives are interesting, so they have to make up, well, I did a lot of drugs back in the day.
Yes.
You know, and like Mike
I was in the grip of Satan.
Yeah, Mike Warnke, I used to drink my own urine, and I used to kill babies. Well, where are the babies you killed, and where's your hepatitis that you have? You know, it doesn't make sense. None of that stuff's real.
There's another report, and it's all, folks, all laid out on MediaMonarchy.com. There's a whole slew of ridiculous news posted up over the last couple of days to kind of get you through this weekend. But a report from, I think, the Belief blog on CNN or one of their sort of religious sub pages.
Right.
Saying, you know, the power of prayer, that, you know, everybody from O'Donnell to Obama says, yeah, prayer gets me by, and I believe in it.
They got a praying dog on TV the other night. He actually was really kind of, and, you know, and if you think that what I talk about is bizarre, go to the Belief area of CNN where they sit there and talk about a dog that prays and says grace over his food. I mean, that to me is that's just as weird as anything else I talk about. And you're right. It's they have that section there because people, damn, if they don't want to lose grip of their beliefs and externalize their gods and pray to them and have them come to them in flying saucers. I mean, what I talk about is not weird. What I'm talking about is what people, it's called core belief. And your core belief, you believe a lot of things in your subconscious that you wouldn't normally talk about. And I basically expose it, and people sometimes get uncomfortable with it, I think. They get uncomfortable.
We also have these fights that broke out during Rand Paul and Jack Conway at the Kentucky Senate
race. That girl getting her head stepped on, or her shoulders stepped on, it was horrible.
And there are other videos that show, I believe, the other side doing similar things, that it was essentially, you know, a mob situation where there were no good sides.
And you know why they do it? Because they believe that those bastards care about them. So we're going to vote them in because they're going to change the world. No, they're not. They're not going to change the world. They're going to F it up more than they've done it before. You know, it's like I said, I was on some interview and I says, you know, I'd wipe my butt with my ballot and it'd still get me the same kind of value. And I'm sorry that I have to, like, break it to you guys, but it's not about red state or blue state. It's the state versus you. And the time you figure out that the state is basically, it's like going to a casino. They treat you like gods. They give you health care. They give you all these other things. I mean, they give you a limo to ride around in Vegas. They give you hookers. They give you free drinks if you gamble. The government does the same things. They'll give you health care. They'll give you unemployment. They'll give you all those things, treat you like a god. And then what happens is you figure out, oh, the House wins. And they have more of a chance of winning because they know more than you do.
The House always wins.
That's what the government is. It's like no matter who you vote for, no matter what you get behind, no matter what project you're up on, the House always wins. And it's always calculated that you lose. You may get ahead maybe, I don't know, a little bit of time, but then they'll find a way to come back and say, hey, wait a minute, you got ahead. That's called fraud. That's called securities exchange. That's called, I mean, they'll find ways to basically screw you.
And selectively enforced, of course.
Exactly, selectively enforced.
I think the tendency is to get everybody geared into the big show, the big presidential elections, the big kind of big name races that, again, involve one of the wrestling Vince McMahon's wife of WWE is running in Connecticut, and just it almost seems like the California recall election from a few years ago, if you remember that. Now it's just kind of countrywide.
It's a circus.
But ultimately, you know, and we've gone over polls on here that have said that most folks would say if you picked people randomly out of the phone book, it'd probably be just as well.
Well, you know, I've heard this before, but people who want to be president, people who want to be governor, people who want, don't vote for them. Vote for the guy that doesn't want it. Because chances are he's going to work hard because he's going to have that place in his lap. That's where true heroes exist. Heroes are people who are in a situation where they have to act, and they act on instinct, not someone who gets paid to do it, or like your politicians. Politicians aren't heroes; they're idiots. You know, look at Barack Obama. You know, we had this huge, you had this charismatic guy, and he was so, you know, he'd say, "Yes, we can," you know, blah blah blah. You know, getting out there and being this true trooper, and now he's like saying, "Well, we can, but it's going to take some time." Well, duh. But, you know, you got so worked up into the idea that you were going to change things, and you didn't change anything. We're still at war. The Patriot Act is still in effect. All equal rights are basically being stolen from us, and you're giving us a half-assed health care system that everybody who's on the left is like going, oh, praise Obama. No, don't, because it's not going to work the way you think it's going to work. And this bull about global warming and global sustainability and global climate disruption, or whatever they're calling it this day, what marketing thing is working, is not going to work at all. You're going to be taxed through your gills. You know, where's the revolution? They're doing it. We're losing. That's where the revolution is. And I'm sorry to tell you that, but, you know, holding up a sign in the street saying, down with this, it's not going to get you anything.
No.
It's going to get people pissed off at you. That's all it's going to get.
And we had Obama here just over a week ago on the 20th. He was at the convention center, of which I'm wearing a hat. Today, as I need a haircut, I'm just hiding it with my Oregon Convention Center hat. But there were protests, of course, outside there. But ultimately, is that the thing? Is ultimately the old school protests a totally dead paradigm?
No, they're worthless. They are worthless, and I'll tell you why they're worthless. Because unless you can get into the system and sabotage it from within, it's not going to work. And people are all, you know, saying, well, if I do this and I get in the face, no, it's just going to get people pissed off. And people will say, well, that's all I can do. No, there's other things you do. There are grand juries. There are, you know, when you get on jury duty, instead of getting on jury duty and, I mean, find a way to fool the lawyers into thinking that you're going to do what they want, get into the jury, and then do what you want.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of things you can do. And I always say, you know, people complain about taxes and how they're paying too high of taxes. Well, how many people have not been able to afford to pay their taxes, go to court, and you're sitting on a jury and saying, well, that son of a bitch didn't pay his taxes, I have to pay mine, and then you put him in jail. Well, you know, we can control this. We can control the juries. We can control how the courts go. We can control everything. But no, people are demanding more cameras. They're demanding all this. And you know what? Those people we need to ostracize. Not people who talk about UFOs and aliens, but the people who are like saying, well, I'm all for the cameras because that would help everything out. Well, you know what? Crime still exists even when cameras are rolling. In fact, it even gives people a challenge to say, look at me, I'm killing somebody, or look at me, I'm ripping off something.
Exactly. As soon as you say, you know, this can't be broken, then you've got people who want to really try to break it.
I mean, I just don't understand the logic here. I mean, in England, they're fighting against everything we're fighting for now. I mean, we're fighting for more police on the streets, and we're fighting for all these other, I mean, at least most of America is. I mean, people are listening to your show, aren't they? They're going to say, oh, Clyde, you're wrong. I'm not thinking that way. Well, of course you're not thinking that way, because you're listening to MediaMonarchy.com. You're listening to Ground Zero. You're on ZeroPointRadio.com. You're going to BlacklistedNews.com, and you're going to Alex Jones and InfoWars, and you're going to all these places because you're getting informed the right, the information that's important. But then, you know, there are more people that are unaware. And the minute you start talking about this, I mean, I just put a commercial up for reverse speech. I'm going to be doing a reverse speech event with David John Oates. And I put this reverse speech event up with this little girl singing, you know, we're going to spread happiness, the Obama kids. People were just livid. They're going, what the hell is this? I've never seen this before. And the fact that you played it backwards is saying, thank you, Satan. Oh, you're a bastard.
I've got that clip. We'll play that when we get into, I think, a lot of the events that you've got planned this weekend.
A lot of cool things in the works.
Probably the whole second hour just discussing those things.
Sure, sure.
But as my thought train derails, I know one of the top things I have on MediaMonarchy.com tied in with the upcoming election is, of course, Proposition 19 in California. Now, I know you've discussed this a little bit, and ultimately, I'm a firm believer that industrial hemp could be the revelation and the revolution that we really need for food and paper and power. And
but it's always been there.
It's always been there, and that's why places and organizations like DuPont and Standard Oil and all the same cronies have
William Randolph Hearst
kept it down. Yeah. The man skewered by Orson Welles and Citizen Kane.
Yes, I mean that's why we still have this marijuana hang up. It's because of William Randolph Hearst.
So I actually let's listen to a clip that'll give us a little bit of a rundown on this California Proposition 19 and. In studio guest Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. We will discuss this afterwards. California Prop 19, a giant leap towards ending the fraudulent drug war.
California voters will weigh in on legalizing marijuana for recreational use. Proposition 19 would allow possession of small amounts of marijuana and permit local governments to authorize and tax the sales. CNN's Ted Rollins has got more on what's going on. Ted.
Well, there is a lot of interest in this, not only here in California, but across the country. And both sides of this debate, although they don't have a lot of money, they are using that intense interest to get their message across to voters.
Medical cannabis.
When a group of Mothers for Marijuana held a press conference in Los Angeles, news cameras were there, allowing the Yes on 19 campaign to spread its message for free.
Please vote yes. Yes on 19 for the kids.
Later, the cameras were helping the other side, following President Obama's drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske, at an event with Celebrity Rehab's Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Why add one more mind-altering substance that would become more accessible and more available?
Neither side in the battle over legalizing pot has a lot of money, but both are getting plenty of free airtime, and both sides are using cheap alternatives to get their messages out.
Well, there's obviously a lot of media interest in this issue, and that's enabled us to get our message out there to the voters we need to reach. We've also made great strides in using social networking technologies like Facebook and Twitter.
Both sides have produced TV ads, but neither has the cash to put them on television, so most of the videos are posted online.
In order to ensure our children have a bright and prosperous future, we propose that the revenue from the legalization of marijuana can be used to supplement the education system in California.
As of 2 weeks ago, Yes on 19 had raised a total of just over $2 million. No had raised less than $200,000. But in the home stretch, the No side has a huge advantage in terms of political support. Every major California candidate, both Democrat and Republican, is against legalizing pot, including Democratic candidate for governor Jerry Brown, who said, if the whole society starts getting stoned, we're going to be even less competitive. President Obama is against 19, as is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who years ago was smoking pot on screen in his movie Pumping Iron, and who recently reduced the penalty for possession to traffic ticket status.
Hi, this is Ann with a volunteer with Yes on 19.
The Yes campaign says they're combating the lack of political support with a passion advantage. They say hundreds of people are volunteering to work phone banks and other events leading up to the vote. The latest field poll has the No on 19 folks leading by about 5% with a couple of weeks, obviously, to go to the election. All of this, Wolf, should be put in context, though, that even if 19 does pass, it is expected that the federal government will come in and try to stop it.
Of course, it's expected that the federal government will come in and try and stop it, even though that seems to go exactly against what Attorney General Conflict of Interest Holder was saying as soon as the administration came in that they weren't going to really deal with.
That goes against my theory, too. I believe they're going to legalize it. They're going to legalize marijuana, but it's a caveat. There's a caveat to it, and that is they're going to legalize marijuana, but they're going to regulate natural remedies. They're going to come back and they're going to say, hey, we gave you pot, now you give us the chance to regulate your vitamins and everything else. I mean, Codex Alimentarius, they're going to regulate your gardens, they're going to regulate that, those sorts of things, because they're going to say, hey, we gave you pot, what more do you want? We want to now regulate those things that are taking away our money from synthetic drugs and crap. Because, I mean, what is Obama? Obama's invested he's invested most of his money in drugs. He's a drug investor, just like all the other guys that have been in office.
It seems a lot more that the fake fake progressives are more invested in the money firms and the pharmaceutical firms.
Sure, they are.
And the fake conservatives, they're more into the war and
Baxter
the oil.
International people.
Exactly.
Who's the biggest investor in Baxter International? Barack H. Obama. And he has done, and then who's the one that proposed the bills in order to get these vaccines going? Barack H. Obama. Even before he was president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the one that was starting all the scares about the flus and everything else. And then he becomes president. People are going out and getting their inoculations. And where's the big pandemic? It's not happening. And yet people are still panicking and still getting injected, still getting all that crap shoved into their bodies they really don't need. And so, I mean, who's right and who's wrong here? Certainly not Obama. Obama's making a ton of money off these morons that are getting their injections.
And I always find that it seems whenever states push back against these sort of draconian measures that have been foisted on us for who knows how long,
right,
that it's unfortunately never out of any sort of moral standpoint of saying, well, no, we shouldn't have surveillance cameras everywhere. Yes, you should be able to do anything with this plant that whoever your creator God put here for us
Oh, sure.
And we've used for millennia. They come at it from the money angle.
Oh, yeah.
We could be making money off this.
Sure. That's why prostitution's illegal. You know, because prostitution's the oldest business, and yet, you know, we can regulate that, too. But, I mean, we could actually have clean hookers. We could have, you know, the whole thing if it was just regulated. But, you know, of course, they had to pay. They're not paying their taxes. That's why hooking's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so drugs are the same way. You know, these guys are making a ton of money off black market drugs. They're going to turn around and they're going to say, okay, we're going to give you pot. And then what that's going to do is they'll jack the price for that, too. And then they'll create another black market for another, you know, and it'll just, you know, it's just a mess. It's a mess because we've allowed it to be that way. And we don't have to keep this going. We can object to it. But many people, why should I rock the boat? Why should I have to take it, you know, take it to the next level? Well, it's either that or you just endure the pain and bitch about it and do nothing about it. And that's why most people, I mean, I see these people, and I won't mention any names, but people know who they are. I see people that take their bullhorns and they go out and they bullhorn events and they bullhorn this. And I'm thinking, what the hell does that do? It just makes you look like an ass. And not only that, but, you know, I have, you know, and I have my my criticisms of people like Alex Jones, but Alex Jones is saying, well, I'm changing the new world. I'm getting rid of the new world order. Well, no, you're not. The new world order is doing fine on its own. You know, either you're reporting about the New World Order and people are taking action, or you're saying that you're the crusader that's getting nowhere. And I think that the idea here is, and I came to this conclusion early on in my career, is that my job is to report, like the weather, the storms coming forward. If you panic about the storm, okay, you're going to drown. If you prepare for the storm, you'll be prepared. And if the storm doesn't come, are you going to fault me? You're going to have all this stuff when the storm does come and it does hit you hard. And so that's what people need to do, is they need to prepare, they need to speak out, and they need to do action if need be. And that doesn't mean grabbing guns and killing everybody and saying, okay, damn it, I'm mad, I'm going to kill. No, be smart. Do smart work. You know, do smart thinking. Do you know, be smart about what you're doing. And use logic and take in all of the weird stuff and take in all of the real stuff. But I'll tell you, I feel that my stuff that I talk about, the stuff you talk about, is far more accurate than the stuff that I'm hearing on CNN, NBC, or MSNBC, and without all the clutter of the siding with the president or the not siding with the president on Fox. It's just crap.
And, well, and to go back to the marijuana vote, when you find folks like George Soros putting $1 million behind Prop 19, when you find yourself on the same side as someone like George Soros, you got to wonder what's up, and they're in it for the taxation.
That's right. They're in it, and you're gonna get what you want, but on their terms. Everything you get is permitted. So don't sit there and say you want, you know, you're gonna get legalized marijuana and think, oh, my dreams are fulfilled. No, you know, no. There's a catch. You know, don't sit there and say, oh, they're gonna tell me that aliens exist. No, there's a catch. They're gonna give me help. Another catch. You know, and then until you actively take part in it and not accept what they serve you, it's like, you know, it's like we're going through a lunch line and they're serving garbage And we're saying, I'll eat it because I like the guy that's serving it to me. Screw that. You know, I'm not going to eat garbage.
Yeah, he's a little smarter than the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, just because Obama's smarter than Bush, which isn't much of a leap, we're going to vote for him. You know, it was always my theory that I was thinking that we should have remained, and I know this is going to really piss off a lot, but we should have remained conservative during the last election. We shouldn't have voted in Obama. And the reason why was because I think that, if anything, we should have voted in Hillary Clinton. And the reason why is because the Clintons have more connections, and you got to know your devils. If you're going to vote, which I don't do, if you're going to vote, you got to know which devils you're going to put in, which devils are going to work for you. And I really don't think that, I mean, as much as I love Obama's personality, as much as I love Obama, and when I see him on The Daily Show or see him on Saturday Night Live, I enjoy him and his wit and his charm, and I enjoy that. Doesn't make him a good president.
No.
And it doesn't make him, I mean, especially with the guys behind him, like Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger. Those guys are war criminals.
Par excellence.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention, when we were still talking about food and codecs, of course, Obama's appointed a ton of folks from Monsanto and from Mars junk food, and just, these things can't be an accident. It can't be, whoops, I didn't know he was connected to Monsanto.
Yeah, I mean, they know what they're doing, and they're preparing us, and people have been screaming from the rafters and saying, oh, this is happening, but as you're screaming, it's still happening. I mean, there can be a dog that's barking and snarling at me, and I can scream, this dog is barking and snarling at me. Oh, my God, this barking and snarling dog is lunging at me. Oh, my God, that damn dog. Where's the owner? That son of a bee owner. You know, God. And then the dog's attacking you, and you're bleeding, and you're still yelling at the owner. Good for you. You're a dead man because you just got attacked by a dog. Well, that's what's going on here, is that, you know, we can yell and scream and blame Obama and blame Bush, blame everybody. But what does that do for us? Not a damn thing. You know, we can sit in our little circles of the 9/11 truth movement and say, oh, it was a horrible, horrible experience. What are we doing about it? You know, are we getting lawyers? I mean, there are people doing things. I mean,
absolutely.
What is it? What's building? What was that website?
BuildingWhat.org.
BuildingWhat.org, I thought was a great idea. You know, the scientists and architects that are trying to prove 9/11 wrong, the official story wrong, that's brilliant stuff. Now what we need to do is lawyers that are willing to take it to court. Lawyers that are willing to, and media that's willing to, mainstream media that people are, that people are used to seeing when they turn on the nightly news, exploring and also exposing the Project for the New American Century for the Mein Kampf that it was. And I think that once that happens, I think that the American people may get a little bit more angry about it.
That reminds me, though, that Mike Rupert, the author of Crossing the Rubicon and Ran from the Wilderness, he gave a talk in Portland, I believe it was at PSU, in November of 2001, just a few short weeks after 9/11, and it turned into the DVD that he has called The Truth and Lies of 9/11. It was shot right here in Portland, and pretty much the seeds of what became the 9/11 truth movement are all pretty much in there. That the things we know now, we kind of had a handle on in the few short weeks after that. He begins it by showing a clip of the Zapruder film. And saying, we know this, we obviously know the shots from the front. What difference does it make? Has anybody done anything about it?
Nope.
Then shows footage of buildings collapsing. We know what happened here. Or is this going to turn into another JFK situation where we speculate about it for years? And that's always been my thing of shying away a little bit from what I kind of jokingly refer to as the Church of Controlled Demolition.
Yeah.
As if the building events are the end-all, be-all of questions about 9/11.
Well, you have to understand that, you know, every movement, including the Tea Party, and so you've got the Tea Party movement, we got the Birther movement, and we got 9/11. All of those movements have happened because of objections to the official stories. And groups have gotten a hold of them and have basically corrupted them.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Tea Party movement came from the 9/11 truth movement. The Birther movement came from Democrats who wanted Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Now the Birther movement is being headed by conservatives. The Tea Party has got a bunch of, just psychopathic conservatives running it. If Christine O'Donnell's who you like, then congratulations.
Again, under the guise that they're a sort of third party.
Yeah, which
always
they're not.
Referred to as the Tea Party, as if they're not part and parcel of the GOP machine now.
I think the Tea Party, I think that all movements, all of these movements that you're seeing, there's got to be a point where people who are ahead of these movements say, okay, what we need to create is the island of misfit toys, and those people can belong there. While we're getting the stuff done and we're actually getting people and talking with them about what we're trying to accomplish, the Island of Misfit Toys can sit there and still do their crazy work and talk about their crazy speculations and whatever. And that's fine, because this is America, you do what you want. But does it really help the movement? I don't think so. I think it's a detriment to the movement. And I think that, once again, the Tea Party is an example of how intelligence, or lack thereof, that's a really broad word there, intelligence got into these groups and infiltrated them and corrupted them completely. The Tea Party's corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely corrupted. Birther movement, totally corrupted. 9/11 truth, you know, sorry guys, but that's corrupted as well.
Yep.
And
I think that's why it's probably always a good rule to pretty much be wary of any kind of group. I think just listening to some old George Carlin where he said, don't join a group. Don't be a part of anything that says, we're the what? The blank.
And if you're doing something, then great. If you're doing something to change, if there's something that you can claim that you've done. Now, one thing about the 9/11 truth movement, I've got to hand it to them. They have somehow convinced, and this is a rough figure, 80% of the American people that 9/11 was an inside job, and that is something that they need to take to the bank. But do they? No. They want that other 20%, and they're going to get in the faces of that other 20%, and they're going to be ruthless. And you're like going, dude, calm down. Let the other 20% wander around in darkness. You have 80% to your favor. So instead of 9/11 truth now, it's 9/11 truth one. You won this game. So if you won this game, what's the next step? You got to go to people who are going to help you push that even further.
Well, and there was video from just the other night of 9/11 truth activists going to some sort of daily show. They have a new book that they're promoting.
Right.
And it turned into some kind of scuffle. And I believe I read, and I can't confirm this, that even one of the producers of the show ended up getting arrested for assault on a 9/11 truth activist. So this brings us to, you just mentioned Obama on the Daily Show. We're having the court jesters rally this weekend. That, again, we don't seem to really have any kind of motivation unless corporate media talking heads tell us to do it.
Right.
So what's your take on the coming Stuart Colbert rally this weekend?
I really don't know if anybody's going to take it seriously, but if they do, these guys are influencing opinion, and they've been told they influence opinion. But once again, you need to understand, those people who look at Colbert and Stewart and they follow them have to also follow the news. Otherwise, what they're talking about means absolutely nothing. So they do have to hear the news, and then we have the jesters that are basically challenging the opinion, and that's what news is supposed to do. Now, they do it with humor. The real news and the real journalists are supposed to challenge and make the empire honest, but they don't. And so you have comedians making the empire honest, which I find very, very interesting in this world right now, especially in a time where they said, you know, irony and comedy about politics or basically taking on politics wouldn't work after 9/11. These guys are proving them wrong, which is very unfortunate that we only have two guys that are running Comedy Central that are doing this.
Well, and I, they're absolutely talented, but I find that they're a far cry from anything that we know of, like Bill Hicks, George Carlin, or Lenny Bruce. Those kind of voices would never get on the kind of mass appeal that The Daily Show is. And again, what we just went over on the latest New World Next Week video about some of the Daily Show connections and their head writers being Council on Foreign Relations as well as Obama speech writers. And this is just another staged PSYOP event. And I think, unfortunately, people will take it seriously because there's no anti-war movement really to speak of. This seems to be the main rallying point for the well-meaning left.
Well-controlled humor. When Obama was on Stewart, even though Stewart said that his health care was timid, you know, he wouldn't have, the president had to have reviewed that. I mean, you can't just say that health policy is timid without the president knowing what he's about to get into.
Absolutely.
And so it had to have been well controlled, because otherwise, you know, the president could say, hey, man, you know, I could have you killed. I could have you audited. And I don't think, you know, that's they used to be that. You know, you say something bad about a president and he audits you later on. So I don't know.
I feel like these times come around more and more often where it seems like this sort of perfect storm, confluence of events, and this weekend seems like one of those times in Halloween weekend and this election and this bizarre rally and just a lot of this sort of homegrown errorism fears and things are bizarre, I think, to say the least.
Halloween's actually, for adults, becoming non-existent, especially during the times of election. I went out the other day to, I went to a Spencer's. And usually Spencer's is one of those places where mm-hmm. you can go in and see Halloween stuff galore. And I was with my girlfriend, and I said, let's go see if we can find some Halloween costumes. And so we walked into Spencer's, and we looked around, and I said, where are the Halloween costumes? I said, oh, they're over here in bags. You know what they were? They were actually bags of clothes of women in slutty Halloween costumes. And I'm thinking, oh, is this what we've been reduced to? Women in slutty Halloween costumes.
It's like a Goodwill grab bag.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, whatever happened to Halloween being like bobbing for apples and going and eating popcorn and hanging out, drinking cider and dressing up as a monster or a witch or a goblin? Doesn't happen anymore because these people are all like, oh, we got to talk about Obama. Well, that's a horror story in and of itself.
But isn't there probably something to be said for just the sort of the Christian family values?
That could be said, too. But, you know, Halloween is something that we have to recognize because it's like I've been saying on all these interviews, you know, there is a good side and there's a bad side. And the thing that we focus on with Halloween is the bad side, when in reality, Halloween is a transition period. It's a period from when those beings do exist and roam the earth to the point where we have the special beings that come into the world, and that's why we have All Saints Day. That's why we have Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. It's the idea of the transition, the harvest, and those are traditional values that we need to hang on to, and we don't because people say, well, it's evil, it's all satanic. Well, of course, Satan's in there, God's in there, God created Satan. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's the problem? You
can't have one without the other.
No, you can't. Otherwise, you'll all be walking around like zombies, saying, "Okay." So I don't know.
So there was, I think, even a zombie event in New York City the other day, some sort of rush hour zombies walking through crowds.
We're obsessed with zombies in this country, I think. I think we are.
And vampires mm-hmm. and all of these things are really coming back. Are we going to look back, assuming we emerge through this era like we somehow have some of the previous eras, and say, oh, well, all that media is just sort of like all the 50s sci-fi. It was the reaction against this fear that permeates.
Well, think about this, okay? Dracula was how many years ago?
The book?
No, the real Vlad Tepes. The guy who was Dracula, that was Dracula, or Dracul.
That's
500 years ago. Yeah, nearly 500 years ago, we had this guy roaming around Carpathia, basically killing people and putting their heads on stakes and... He did it for God. They called him Dracula. They call him a vampire. They call him whatever. So 500 years down the road, we're embracing this character as a misunderstood being who needs love and companionship and whatever. Now, I'd hate to think that 500 years from our time, we're doing the same thing with Hitler. You know, because he was a ruthless killer. Mm. And then we say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if 500 years in the future, Nazism gets embraced as some sort of a wonderful thing where, oh, Nazis were just misunderstood. And, hey, let's build a nice amusement park at Berchtesgaden. That'd be great. And we can even tour the area where, you know, this fascist put a bullet hole in his head. And we'll all go, oh, wasn't that fascinating?
And again, to talk about some of the things, you know, to say I maybe on the site shy away from maybe the more speculative or esoteric things, but it's really the research and just my own amateur research into the Nazi connections and Project Paperclip, and we brought them over and they helped build our rockets, and it ties in with Jack Parsons and
UFOs
and UFOs and Aleister Crowley and Scientology and Charles Manson, and all these things are all what Peter LaVenda would call sinister forces. But
right.
the Nazi truth, if you will, the fact that the Bush family's connected to them, mm-hmm. the fact they gave awards to Margaret Sanger.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't come up with the eugenics ideas on their own. They got it from the West. They got it from Sanger, the Huxleys, the Wedgwoods, sure. the Galtons, the Darwins, the mad scientist eugenics families.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things for me that are really those kind of big, kind of key things that should help open the door to a lot of other events. I think what I try and do on the site is focus on those events that call into question both phony sides.
Well, I call this pathocracy. And the reason why I call it pathocracy is because what we do as a society is we adjust the evil levels. We either take them up a notch or we bring them down a notch in order to accept people into our lives as our leaders. And so With Bush, we upped the pathocracy level a little bit because Cheney was this and Rumsfeld was that. And we upped the evil there a little bit, and we're all participating in it. And then now Obama's there. We lower the evil just a tad because he's got a great smile and he's articulate and he's everything else. But the evil's still there. We still have a little bit of a pulse of evil going on. So we up and down the evil level to 11, or we bring it down to 10, or we bring it down to 9. And it's all because of the fact that there are acceptable evils that we conclude, we have selective evil that we conclude is best for us. And so, that's why evil, in my opinion, is just what is known as social acceptability. If it's not socially acceptable, it becomes evil. And the reason why I know this is because I was raised in Utah, and that's how the Mormons operate.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Boyd K. Packer, who was an apostle of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, right after they were talking about gay bullying, he got up in front of their church conference, which they have every 6 months, and he said, homosexuality is evil, it's wicked, and don't let anybody tell you differently. It does not deserve to be on this planet. The guy has balls to just basically step forward and say, hey, I don't care if they are bullying gay kids and they're killing mm-hmm. them and everything else. It's evil. Basically condoning the whole concept that you should hate gay people. And that's the whole thing is that, okay, so it's acceptable for them to say, well, gay stuff, people who are gay, homosexual, they're evil. When in reality, they're not evil. But, there's what? How many Mormons in the world? 6 million
mm-hmm.
or maybe more, 9 million Mormons. To those 9 million Mormons, that guy's speaking from God's voice. And so that's what you have to think about it. These are what they believe, not what you believe. If your beliefs are, liberty and happiness and justice and whatever, then you practice those things. Practice them well because you're outnumbered.
We seem to be so easily whipped around, though, into whatever the latest moral panic is. And so whether that is about gays in the military or marijuana or so-and-so's a witch or... These are these kind of football issues that get the populace stirred up, and to get them motivated to essentially fulfill what the misleaders want them to do.
Well, I always ask myself, what does it hurt? Whenever I see an issue, I go, who's it hurting? What is it hurting anybody? Mm-hmm. If it is, then that's something that I'm not for. So if I see people's rights being taken from them, if I see people who are happy, come on, gay marriage. If someone's in love with somebody and they just happen to both have penises, who cares? Mm-hmm. They're happy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do? You want to keep everybody happy? No. Our government is into regulating pain, and they can inflict it, and they can take it away. Well, if you want to inflict pain on a group of people that want to love each other, then you have that on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hate to think that you could wake up every morning and deal with that. What do you care where a penis goes? What do you care mm-hmm. if there's scissoring going on in someone's life? It doesn't matter to you.
I've always just trying to say that, yeah, whatever people want to put in or on or up themselves
right.
is their business.
Well, I think that, maybe perhaps we should have regulations against masturbation, too.
I'm sure they'd
like
that.
Why not? Why don't we regulate whether or not, onanism. We have a parade about onanism, or we have I'm an onanist. whatever. I think it's silly. I think it's silly that we have to discriminate against somebody because they have a preference for certain types of mm-hmm. people. That's thought crime, and it's evil, and it's wrong, and I don't get it. I don't get where people come up with these ideas. And I remember hearing, I knew one guy who was saying, well, having gays in the military is bad because they're fighting for our country, and they're putting their lives at risk when you have a homosexual fighting with you. How does that happen? How are you putting your life at risk? I don't get them. I don't get the connect there.
Can then throw in the Fred Phelps, the Westboro Baptist Church protests and gays and military.
God may hate fags, but he certainly hates morons too. And that personally, that really, Fred Phelps, I've interviewed him, and he's just a moron extreme.
Oh, you have interviewed him?
Oh, hell yes. I've interviewed Tom Metzger too, but I wanted to, demonstrate the extremes of society, and I've interviewed both of them, and they're quite frightening people.
Well, we're pretty much wrapped up our number one here, ladies and gentlemen.
It's flying by.
It is flying by, and
wow.
This is episode 192 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's October 29th, the beginning of Halloween weekend 2010. And in the studio with us is our good friend Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. There's so many other things for us to go over, and Clyde has a whole slew of events planned for this weekend, both live and in person and on the airwaves and blasting worldwide and perhaps beyond.
Yeah, we hope so.
So let's actually take a quick little musical break here, and we'll come back and we'll get into the reverse event, the Edison Enigma, pop culture, sinister forces, all that and so much more with Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Media. Stick around.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen. We're now into hour number two of episode 192 for MediaMonarchy.com. Heard a little bit of the Rosemary's Baby theme before. This is Agent of Chaos from the Dark Knight soundtrack, and I think that sets the stage quite well. And again, we're joined in studio by my man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
So we want to discuss in this second hour the slew of amazing events you have lined up this weekend. But while we were taking that quick break, we were discussing just some of the other pop culture, as we'll refer to it. what did you call it again?
I'm asking for asylum to protect me from the Hollywood star whackers.
Grant me asylum from the Hollywood star whackers.
Because it made me think of Heath Ledger and how, I guess, the Quaids are escaping to Vancouver, and they're saying that Heath Ledger was murdered. Several of their friends have been murdered by the Hollywood...
David Carradine
and everything. There's some sort of band of Hollywood people that are killing people off. You know, what's really scary about that is that... you know, even though it sounds crazy,
mm-hmm.
when I lived in Argentina, that happened when there were people who were in the media that were talking against the government. They were getting wiped out, and they made it look like an accident. But all these people, these well-known you know, actors and playwrights and poets and everything, were all dying.
These were the disappeared?
Yeah, they disappeared or they died in some strange circumstance. It was mostly ODs. And that sort of thing, and they'd make it look like a big, you know, overdose. And so, I don't know. I mean, the Quaids probably could be. In fact, they generally are.
And this story I grabbed from the independent.co.uk. So the story's gotten international coverage. That basically, yeah, the actor Randy Quaid and his wife, and I believe even a child as well.
I don't know. I didn't know about the child.
Perhaps not. They're seeking asylum in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yeah.
Worried that they're on a death list.
Yeah, that they're going to be hit and killed because of, I don't know, they call them the Hollywood star whackers.
Is that what they refer to it as?
They call them the Hollywood star whackers. Look it up. You'll be like, whoa. It's kind of like, you know, it sounds like some sort of a product.
So these things, as well as, I don't know if you're familiar with a site called Vigilant Citizen.
Of course.
That site has done amazing work in, you know, and its viewers... Its viewership is huge because, of course, when you're talking about pop stars, mm-hmm. you're automatically going to scoop up huge swaths of the web surfing audience.
Vigilant Citizen made me a fan of Lady Gaga. Just thought I'd let you know.
Really, yeah. But the latest bit on there is he cross-posted a story that I think came from MTV about Kanye West and his series of tweets, this tongue-in-cheek about his Illuminati references and his possible devil worship, tweeting like, oh, how do I worship the devil on my iPhone? Or would the devil like a droid or, you know, an iPhone? And ha ha ha.
Funny you should bring up that, worshiping the devil on your iPhone. Do you know there's an app now called the iOvilus? I don't even know how to say it. O-V-I-L-I-U-S. Ovilus. That basically is a tracker for ghost activity. And you can have it on your iPhone. And what it does is it tracks ghosts and then... It has an environmental monitor that when the environment changes in the room, it assigns a number to that environmental shift, and then the number is assigned a word. So you get, hello, worry. You get these words, and people can call out and say, is there somebody in the room? Yes.
I'm sure this is completely unrelated to the forthcoming Ghostbusters 3.
I don't know. Could be.
Again, these are those media memes.
I saw Bill Murray in a Ghostbusters suit. He's getting a little old.
That fly around. That again, just being a longtime student of pop culture. I know longtime listeners probably have heard, you know, my tale of growing up in a conservative Christian household, Southern Baptist, where I wasn't really allowed to listen or buy music or go to movies.
Oh yeah.
The wall didn't break until about 1988. So. Right. I know I can look at 88 through probably 90, the early 90s, and I saw every piece of crap that was in the mall movie theater. But those were the things that the things I was kept away from are the things I became the most interested in.
I lived in a Mormon community,
Mom.
In Utah, and I was the first kid to buy Black Sabbath albums and Kiss records, and I was evil then. And, you know, I was like, what are you listening to? Who are these guys? Knights in Satan's Service.
I thought it was Kids in Satan's Service.
Well, it was Knights in Satan's Service or Kings in Satan's or Kids in Satan's Service. And I'd play my records backwards all the time and say, listen, it says, here's to my sweet Satan in the Led Zeppelin album. And I'd do all that stuff when I was a kid, and people thought I was just out of my mind.
I did play music for my G.I. Joe guys. I would set up, like, I would have soundtracks for my G.I. Joe battles. That, again,
that's cool.
I think you can kind of look back in your life and go, hey, I guess dots kind of connect.
So did you ever play any Barry White when Barbie walked in the room?
No, because all I had was these a handful of, you know, I had maybe the Star Wars score.
Oh, yeah,
just
I know
a
that.
Handful of records that, you know, that I was allowed
Planet
to have.
Of the Apes. I had Planet of the Apes dolls when I was a kid. That was amazing. I had those Planet of the Apes dolls, and then I got Star Wars dolls, and then I got G.I. Joe dolls. It was amazing.
But I think it's a positive thing that this Kanye series of tweets of, you know, LOLing about his Illuminati connections shows the effect that the alternative media can have,
mm-hmm.
and that the work that sites like VigilantCitizen.com have done cause one of the biggest pop stars in the world to essentially have to address it.
Well, yeah, I think that's amazing. And you know who else is addressing it? Marilyn Manson. I mean, he's been also talking about it.
Mm.
But, you know, he feels that people like Lady Gaga have kind of ripped him off in a way, because he was like the big bad boy out there giving all this imagery of, you know, Tetragrammatron, and also a lot of satanic imagery and non-satanic imagery.
But it also, to me, seemed to have a lot more social commentary, political bent to it.
Yeah.
Through theatrics, through rock and roll, through satire, through shock.
Yeah.
Whereas the sort of now Lady Gaga phenomenon just seems part and parcel to me of this sort of American Idol, Dancing with the Stars, whatever most ridiculous popular thing will be the biggest thing. And now, and I've got it in my slew of news that Lady Gaga has the most YouTube views. She was the first person to hit a billion views.
Oh, yeah. She's just, in fact, I was just on another show talking about what I'm doing this weekend. I was on another podcast, and they were talking about the meat suit. They were talking about there are a number of people out there that want to go in a meat dress or a meat suit for Halloween. And I think butchers, like in New York, are charging $600 to make something for people out of meat, which I just...
Got to make a buck.
Yeah, somehow. Capitalize on a craze brought about by some pop star.
So I guess I'll just quickly say that, again, a lot of these things that we've referenced, I have laid out and posted up on MediaMonarchy.com. They're all still on the front page. Again, this slew of massive news that I, you know, can't really do justice to in the two-hour live format, that in all these things, I mean, it's pretty much incumbent on folks to go check it out themselves and do their own research. Again, let me say, it's like I'm not the smartest dude in the world by any stretch.
Neither am I.
I just pay attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need to do is pay attention, and, you know, and I have an imagination, and I don't back down from that. And I have always said, you know, I could be kidding, I could be kidding, but I'm very serious about a kid about. And I always say, too, you know, sometimes the truth ruins a good story. I mean, I've been known to say those things. And it's not because of the fact that I want to discredit myself or discredit other people. It's just I think life is more interesting than just, you know, it's like, sure, I can tell you there's no Santa Claus, but what does it serve? You know, if there's something going on and people believe in it, have fun with it for a while. Play with it for a while. Then if it's not hurting anybody, then, you know, just leave it alone.
Well, and you do have the disclaimer at the bottom of groundzeromedia.org.
Yeah, people never read my disclaimers. They never read that, you know, what I talk about is I talk about information and disinformation. It's up to you to decide which is what. Because I was coming out and said, oh, this is bull. Somebody's going to say, well, Clyde, think of this. You know, I reached a point, and it was after I had interviewed Robert Anton Wilson, and he had said that once, he says, you get to a certain age where you just don't care. It's not about not caring, it's about that you do care about these things, but you just don't know. And so if you don't know, why push beliefs on people that, you know, you don't really have a knowledge of? And it's true. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm a militant agnostic. You don't know, and neither do I, so shut your mouth sometimes and just let it play out and see what happens. and it's not, you know, sometimes I think it's non-healthy to have that attitude. Sometimes I think it's healthy, but it sure saves me from having to worry about whether or not there are demons under my bed, you know. Sure, they're there, but, you know, I think you need to make friends with your hallucinations and demons, and that way you'll be able to get on with your life.
And ultimately, all these things are within, and the answers
are within,
pretty much within.
Everything coming at you is from within you, completely that way.
And it basically comes down to fear or love, mm-hmm. as many others have mm-hmm. said. Mm-hmm. So, again, folks, all the pop culture is laid out on the site. But, Klein, you have a huge weekend planned.
Yes.
And I don't think I really realized how big your weekend was going to be when I was first asking you to come on. I wanted you to come on because we haven't had you on for a while,
right.
And I knew that this time of year would be the perfect time to discuss all of these holy hexes going on. But so I guess just maybe give folks a quick rundown on what's coming this weekend, and then we'll flesh it out.
I think this is the busiest Halloween I've ever had on record. I don't know what to talk about first. I've been making the rounds and talking with people about what I'm about to do, but one of the biggest things that's happening is tonight at the Canton Lodge at 8130 North Denver Avenue, I am bringing, and he's a good friend of mine, I've known him for 16 years, David John Oates. He's going to be there at the Lodge, and he's going to be doing, and this is where it gets interesting, he's going to be reversing politicians, and this is the first time I've told him to do so in a show, because most of the time I don't like reversing politicians. But he's going to reverse politicians because of the fact that the election right now is so important to people, and he's going to reveal dark secrets about the candidates, which, you know, if you know anything about reverse speech, the belief system here is that reverse speech reveals the unconscious mind, that which is not controlled by conscious thought and focus. And so when you listen to reversals, you hear what is going through their subconscious, or what is, and it's even deeper than that, because there's a lot of hidden things inside our souls that, and I tell people that reverse speech is generated from where the dreams are created. That you hear, and I'm doing reversals right now for some things in my life, and believe me, the metaphors are there, everything's there, it gels with me. I'm not saying it's a new religion, but what I'm saying is it's something that needs to be considered as an oracle for looking into what is making you tick, because you take a look at eyesight, for example, and eyesight is, you know, you look at things and they project upside down in the back of your brain, and then you make it right side up again. Who's to say that thoughts and word forms, that word is focused thought, that, huh. you know, that the thoughts that are running through you all the time, you have so many thoughts running through you all at once that you have to, your brain is such a miracle that it has to take all of that stuff that's uncontrolled and focus it into a word and form it into a word so that you can communicate, and people that can't do that are usually the ones we call mentally ill. They can't harness their unconscious thoughts or their unconscious desires or animal instincts.
So it's David John Oates, and he has a site, reversespeech.com.
Reversespeech.com. He's going to be here in town. He came all the way from Adelaide, Australia.
Whoa.
So he's going to be there at the Canton Lodge, and he does this because we've known each other for 16 years, and it's always a good show. It's $10 to see him at the Canton Lodge tonight, 8130 North Denver at 8. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be $10 to see him. And then he's got a, now brace yourself, he's got an all-day workshop from 9 to 5. Tickets for that are $165. Now you're going to go, ouch. But, you know, I know of a lot of people that are going to be spending that money to be there, because what it is it's almost like a huge therapy session, because you get to find out things about yourself that you didn't know. And people will pay all kinds of money to take LSD to figure that out. But this is something that you're going to find out. You don't have to get high, and you'll be able to hear what's going on in your unconscious, because it is a fascinating thing. It's not just playing records backwards. It's not just reversing politicians. Mm-hmm. It's digging into what is inside you, and you'd be surprised at what you'll find. You'd be surprised at what it will reveal about you, and you'll go, oh, my God, that's true. It does reveal about me.
So in our busy weekends, I'm working on putting the finishing touches on my latest Media Monarchy mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And within there, including a track I got from you that I've included in the mix, the mm-hmm. Devil Went Down to Delaware.
Yeah.
Of course, referring to Christine O'Donnell. And again, folks, keep your eye on the feeds. That mixtape will drop this Halloween weekend. But I include on there a remix done by a guy who calls himself DJ Lobster Dust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's The Queen versus Satan.
Fun to smoke marijuana.
It's Fun to Smoke Marijuana.
That is a
remix.
Fantastic. I played it on my show. It's a fantastic remix.
I'm not sure. I haven't been able to find if the church records aren't really there. That the guy that sampled, the preacher that sampled in this track, Reverend Gary, I forget his last name. It escapes me. There was someone at my church in Fayetteville, West Virginia, at Emmanuel Baptist Church in the early 80s, doing that exact same thing. And I heard mm-hmm. Queen, Another One Bites the Dust backwards, where he told us,
it's fun to smoke marijuana.
Here's what it's going to sound like. It's right. Fun to smoke marijuana, or start to smoke marijuana.
Right.
So I heard that from a little kid. And those things, to me, again, being kept away from media, only seeing those things that some of those preachers brought, and Billy Idol and Ozzy Osbourne and all of those things that were the, you know, the evils of rock and roll. So I'm including that track, and I want to play something that our friend Mike,
Mohawk Mike
of GroundZeroTV.org.
Yes.
And that's where folks can find a lot of videos, because he's been videoing.
And Ground Zero t-shirts, which I'm wearing.
And Ground Zero t-shirts.
Yeah, he's got a lot of Ground Zero. I mean, the greatest Ground Zero artwork. You know that album art that you like that I do?
Uh-huh.
That's on t-shirts now. It's amazing stuff. So you can pick up any Ground Zero album art t-shirt.
Oh, I might have to get the one of the little kids hugging Darth Vader.
Oh, I got to. You know what? I want him to put that on a poster, because I did make that. But what he does have, and it's a really big hit right now, is My First Police State. Remember the show we did?
Oh, yeah.
With the baby with the gun to its head? That's a really popular t-shirt right now. It's really good.
So let's play a clip that is basically a sort of a promo for the reverse event, which again, folks, is tonight at the Kenton Masonic Lodge here in Portland, Oregon. And we should also tell folks who are going to be checking this out worldwide that they can listen live on ZeroPointRadio.com.
Yeah, ZeroPointRadio actually sells seats for people to listen. And this is more of a listen show, so it's more valuable to you, because all the other shows we do are visual. This is more of a listen show. So listening in tonight would be very, very good for ZeroPointRadio.com. So get your tickets now on ZeroPointRadio. It's only $5 to get in and listen to it tonight. Also, I want to tell you that the Masonic Lodge, I know a lot of people are kind of eerie and weird out about Masonic Lodges, but the Masonic Lodges, I mean, there are a lot of places you go to that are Masonic Lodges. There are bars that are Masonic Lodges. A lot of the Kennedy School, Kennedy School, but the McMiniman's places are
those
lodges.
Those are, for folks out there, there's a chain of places here in Portland and Oregon called McMiniman's, and they specialize in restoring old buildings, and a lot of them are old Masonic halls.
So this is an old Masonic hall. It's called what we call the Kenton Lodge, the Masonic Lodge. And so come on out. There's no problem with sitting in a building. I mean, you're not going to be ritualized or turn into a monkey. But come on out and support it. And I'm telling you, we need to seat a lot of people at the show. The reason why is because our last show we had was bombarded with problems with construction. And they were constructing the roads in front of the lodge, and it basically took its toll. And they were saying, we only had a few people last time. You know, we need to seat at least 100 people to make this workable. If not, I may lose the venue. So,
okay.
And it's a very valuable venue because it seats 300 people, and it's a pretty darn good place to do it.
And it gives you the time and the space to be able to flesh these things out, whereas the shows at Dante's were generally under an hour.
They were under an hour.
Meanwhile,
a lot of
the
drunks.
Band were setting up behind you for the next show.
Exactly. And so now you're getting full on, and it's focused, and there are concessions there, so you can eat. I know there's no alcohol, but, you know, not everything has to revolve around alcohol.
But so there's a bar across the street.
There is a bar across the street, yes. So you can go there and have a drink if you want.
So let's listen to this quick clip that you'll hear what we referred to a little bit ago. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And you say. And you say. And you say. And you say.
So, it pretty much does sound like Yes We Can is
Thank you, Satan,
backwards.
You wouldn't believe the angry people that I've had emails from when I allowed this to be put on Facebook. So many people are angry about that.
And again, to go back to just essentially just using these social networks as a way to spread information and not to stalk that girl you dated in high school.
Right.
But or to be stalked, I suppose. to push buttons and to make discussions start. And that is something I found. I've kind of made a mess of my whole Facebook page because it's a strange mix of family and friends and people I actually know and have known all my life, getting into arguments with people I've never met before who are just fans of media monarchy.
Sure.
I think that's exactly what we should be using places like Facebook for. And again, I don't spend a lot of time on message boards and things like that. No. Those usually devolve into, you know, whoever calls someone Hitler first. I forget what that term's called.
Godwin.
The Godwin Law. That's right.
Yeah, I know about it because we always say, oh, Mr. Clyde, Godwin. Because I always use it as an argument sometimes.
So those were the little kids. And again, just to, we even forget now that we're 2 years out from the most amazing, you know, Madison Avenue propaganda campaign that we had ever witnessed.
Oh, yeah.
With all the little kids and all the little songs. And
praising der Leader.
Praising der Führer as the little youth. Yeah. And again, folks, one of the articles we have up is a former Hitler youth essentially being a whistleblower now saying, do you guys not see that you're following the same exact path that we did?
Oh, we even have a sun symbol like Hitler had. It's called the Obama Sunrising Blue, Red, whatever. I mean, come on, people.
So this reverse speech, and again, the guest tonight at the Lodge is David John Oates of ReverseSpeech.com. What would you say to someone, and perhaps even a lot of myself, who says, man, this is crazy?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first met David, and I just did it as a joke, thinking, okay, this is going to be joking. But what had happened is I went to one of his seminars, and he does reversals with people right there. And he asks them, like, so is there something that about this? And they go, how did you know? Well, this reversal says this. I was at a seminar one time. There was a guy who was from Mexico that was there attending. And he had a reversal that was in Spanish. It said, mi corazón está enferma. He actually said that in the reversal. And I said to the guy, I says, is your heart sick? Are you, like, unhappy? He goes, oh, my God, no. He says, what, you heard of reversal? I go, it says your heart, mi corazón, my heart, está enferma, is sick. I said, your heart is sick. And he goes, oh, my God. He says, I just had open heart surgery a few weeks ago.
Mm.
And he says, this is my first outing since I've had open heart surgery, so maybe my heart is sick, or maybe it was sick. And so I was, like, blown away by that. And so there are many times I've been trying to find a way to pinpoint exactly what reverse speech is. I say it's an oracle of some kind, much like a Ouija board or something else, but it's coming out from you. And if you just give it a try, I mean, we can hear, you know, he doesn't alter them. And anymore, he used to just focus on the reversal, but now he's allowed people to hear the gibberish before and then have the reversal jump out at them. And we were on KUFO the other morning with Marconi and Kid Chris.
Uh-huh.
They demanded that we don't tell anybody what they're saying. And they could hear them. And if you can hear them in the gibberish, and if you can figure them out, then they're there. Those word formations are there, and the mind is trying to find a way to make sense of it all. So it is where dreams are made. It is the unconscious mind. It's an uncontrolled unconscious mind, and so we're finding a way to control it and figure out what people are thinking inside of themselves.
So does he just, in the sort of workshop situation, does he just record you saying anything?
Yeah, what he does is he's doing stuff with me now, because many of your listeners may or may not know, but I'm a cancer survivor, but I was diagnosed having another tumor, which has me a little worried because I go in for tests again in November. And, for me now, cancer is something that I have to deal with because it pops up, or the fears pop up, or the scares pop up, and it's really difficult. But he's been working with me about my cancer, and one of the reversals I had in my reversals that he did was, we must destroy the snake. And David said, well, crikey, the snake means, you know, he does, you know, I'm doing a bad Australian accent, he says, the snake actually means cancer. And I said, oh, that's convenient. He says, no, really, it means cancer. And he says, it means you must destroy the snake. You have to get rid of your cancer. That's part of your reversal. And it was funny because I kind of at first thought, yeah, it's convenient, David. It's a metaphor for cancer. But I was sitting in a studio last week at KUFO, and Mohawk Mike, who doesn't understand reverse speech at all and has told me many times that he doesn't, was sitting in the studio, and he heard that. And what did he do? He flashed a picture he had on his computer of the Caduceus. And he says, what metaphor and meme is the snake? It's the Caduceus. And what did they used to do to people that were sick? They used to cut a line in their hand, and then they would hold a stick out, and then they would find something and they would twist the worm or the snake around the stick and they would hold it in front of him and say, this will heal you.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that Moses did when the children of Israel were being attacked by vicious vipers? He held up a snake on a pole and he said, this will heal you. The caduceus is a snake on a pole, which will heal you as
and that,
a vibration.
For folks, that's the medical symbol.
Right.
The two snakes intertwined around, what are they?
It's the staff of Hermes,
okay,
or Tammuz, or whomever you know your pantheon is. But the truth is that then when I saw that and David was in the studio, I was like, oh, I get it now. It is the snake. The snake is what's killing me, and it needs to be removed from me, and that is the symbol of what doctors are. They're removing the snake from you. They're removing that disease from you. And so, is David out of his mind? No, I don't think so. And there was another one too where I was talking about jobs and working, and he reversed it and says, I need the money. It said in my reversal, I need the money. And he goes, you know, in 16 years, Clyde, that I've talked with you and worked with you, you've talked about how you've had hard times, you had bad times and good times. Now your subconscious, your unconscious mind is saying that you need money. And I guess I do. I do need money because I'm going through these tests and I just lost my job that paid the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to build on my shows that I'm doing now to see if they can pay the bills. So, yes, there are things in my subconscious that I can't control that wind up in these reversals. And this is what you're hearing when the politicians are speaking. Thank you, Satan. Thank you, Satan. What powers are giving Obama his power? What is he using? Is he a Satan worshiper? No, that doesn't mean he's a Satan worshiper. It means that there are powers within his unconscious mind that refers to Satan, and Satan is a metaphor for deceit. Satan is a metaphor for, you know, so was he trying to deceive people by saying, yes, you can, or yes, we can? Obviously so, because, you know, John Stewart just taking a task on his yes, we can. He said, it's yes, we can with conditions. It's not yes, we can do it. You're not as pragmatic as you thought you were. Are we okay here?
Was that on the show?
Yeah. He was on the show, and he basically went after him. He said, you know, yes, we can, but with conditions, right? He says, yeah, yes, we can, but now it's going to take some time. See, he didn't say that when he was running for office.
No, it
which
was...
is a deceit.
Mm-hmm.
So reverse speech, once again, proved. I mean, if you look at the history of reverse speech, I mean, the reason why David John Oates is even famous is because he actually was reversing President Bush Sr. And he did that. He had this reversal that said, Simone in the sand. And Dick Cheney sent him a letter and he said, what have you got there? Because you know what Simone means? It's a word in the Middle East that means desert storm. And so Bush was talking about desert storm in his unconscious mind. And it was, I think it was, I mean,
Daddy Bush.
Yeah, Daddy Bush. And they called it Operation Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. Simone in the sand. The Simone is the desert storm. And it was in the sand. It was in his metaphors that he was talking about in his reversals.
And again, being, like I said, skeptical of this, your context of the way our eyesight works with the reversals and the flipping actually does shed a good bit of light on it.
Did you hear about that experiment that they actually found glasses that they were able to turn eyesight upside down? And they had them looking through these glasses, and they couldn't take them off, and they looked through them for like 6 weeks, and the brain actually turned the image right side up again. And when they took the glasses off, it went upside down, and the brain corrected it again. So the brain is constantly correcting the images and the words and the vocals we hear, and they're doing it both backwards and forwards. So there's something to what... Don't know what it is yet. And in fact, it's still theoretical in his thing, but something will have to be concrete about this, and that we can somehow dismiss it as just mere simulacrum or the brain finding some sort of pattern in the clouds, because it is there, it is in different languages, and it can be detected, and it's an amazing thing to just behold. It's more than just playing records backwards and hearing, you know, here's to my sweet Satan. There's more to that.
I think that really speaks to what, again, we say, that this is a war on consciousness, that all these things that go on tell you to take this pharmaceutical, take these medicines, you're not right. Those things are clouding what you've just now said, that our minds are the most powerful things that can adjust and can work to correct these things that go on, but not if you willingly put it to sleep.
You're right, and here's something else. everybody believes that possession, and we're talking about this since Halloween, we talk about satanic things like possession. People believe that possession is not voluntary. It's voluntary. The devil can only get in you if you allow him to.
That's the same with Dracula.
Right.
You got to invite him in.
What is the name of that new movie that's out called Let Me In? You have to invite the demon in order for the demon to take over. If you don't, it won't bother you. And that's what people need to understand. Demons just don't voluntarily come in and enter into people's bodies and say, oh. They don't do that. You're inviting it in somehow, whether you're doing a lot of drugs, whether you're depressed, whether you're not doing things to, your health is bad, and you're allowing it to happen, you're ruining your life. Yeah, that's how they step in. If you believe in such things, if you believe in the supernatural, the supernatural's shown itself many times to me. But that is how it's done. It's not that this poor innocent girl just all of a sudden, got possessed by the devil. No, she was doing something to open herself up to that.
See, now, and that's something, if we were talking about The Exorcist, that's something that, again, in my conservative Christian upbringing is, they were playing with a Ouija board. That's how that happened. So, again, that tied into my upbringing is you don't play with the occult.
Well, Ouija boards, though, when you look at the cult and the tools that are there for the occult, you can play with them. But always remember, there's a responsibility that comes with playing with them. And if you are doing it and you put up a wall of protection and you do it ritualistically, nothing can harm you. The reason why Ouija boards harm people is because you have a bunch of stupid teenagers that jump on a Ouija board and ask it stupid questions. And what you're basically doing is you're making 911 calls to the spirit world. And someone's going to show up, and they're going to get on the switchboard, and they're going to F with you if you don't know what you're doing. I've always said to myself, that's one of the things that I would like to do is when I die, I would like to ask God to give me Ouija board duty because I could teach kids a bunch of things about not effing with the spirit world. But, I use Ouija boards and seances. I've been a medium, and there's only one time that I had a problem with a Ouija board, and that was because I was doing a seance at a place called the Rose and the Raindrop. It was a funeral home. We had ghosts in there, and we had a demon. I didn't even know the name of the demon. It spelled its name out. The demon was called Obisuth. It showed up on the Ouija board, and the reason why Obisuth was a Mediterranean or a Mesopotamian demon that ate children out of the wombs of mothers. And the reason why that demon showed up is because one of the women that were there at the seance that we were having had been drinking, and she was pregnant. And so she had opened the gate. See, once again, let me in. You're drinking and you're harming your fetus. A demon shows up at a seance to take that fetus away from you.
This whole idea kind of reminds me of what my friend Richard Grove of TragedyandHope.com would say. Again, this is all a battle on our psyches. Is what kind of spam filters do we have on our mind?
Not too many.
What kind of virus protections do we have built up? So that's sort of the same thing you're talking about, whether you're talking about dissecting the news and trying to figure out exactly the story. Or these things that are sort of inner space within.
It's all about, and you can look at it as being demon possession. You look at it as mental illness. And I know there's somebody out there on the internet that has a Clyde Lewis, you're an asshole video because they don't know the difference. But I do know the difference. What's her name? Magenta. I know the difference. And yes, I did know the difference when I did the experiment or the broadcast of Annalisa Michelle's exorcism. As far as I'm concerned, you can call it mental illness, you can call it demon possession, you can call it whatever you want. It's still a virus that gets into the brain, and it's allowed to get in because of things you're doing to yourself. And it happens. It's just like, cancer. People smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke and smoke, and they say to themselves, why did I get cancer? It happened to me. The reason why I had kidney cancer was because I smoked. I was smoking for a good long time, doing a lot of drinking and everything else. And that's what happens. Your kidneys filter out that poison stuff, and it triggers the junk DNA to basically multiply, and it can kill you. Now, I was lucky. Well, I was lucky because I survived, but they found it, and it was about ready to just go lethal. 6 weeks to live. I survived it. I got another tumor waiting for me that I have to find out about, and it's because I smoked. So when people come to me and say, do you smoke? I said, nope, don't. I had cancer, cured me of that pretty damn fast.
That's probably my biggest failing in, getting up here and railing against all the things going on is I'm addicted to cigarettes.
Well, you can get off the addiction. It's easy. It's easy to do.
That may be something that may really need to happen here in my 33rd year
But, well, but I'll tell you this much. I mean, I was smoking when I was your age, and it hit me. When 40 happens, it's true what they say. When 40 happens, you're on your own. And whatever those sins and misdeeds you did when you were younger, you know, suicidal adolescence is cool, but if you don't learn anything from your suicidal adolescence, then when you're 40 and 46 like me, you're going through all the hospital bills.
Well, that reminds, there's a comedian, Doug Stanhope, who says, you know, they always tell you to, live like there's no tomorrow, but they never tell you what to do when
tomorrow
you live
shows
past tomorrow.
It's true, though.
I was planning on this dead tomorrow thing.
Life is wonderful, and I'm not telling you not to just indulge in smoking and drinking and whatever you want to do, but damn, you know, I didn't have a limit back in the day, and I used to get, like, really plowed, and I used to smoke a lot and everything else, and, you know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm just saying that, you know, realize there are consequences. If you're letting that in, something's going to happen. Some people smoke and smoke and smoke, and they live to be 80, 90 years old. I don't know. It's just that, you know, they tell you not to, and you do, and if you do it and it happens to you, you can't blame anybody. You just
can't. Well, on that happy note...
I don't know if it was happy. It was kind of positive, telling people, don't drink, don't smoke.
You're absolutely right.
I don't know.
And, of course...
This public service announcement made by...
And a weekend like this, of course, would... You know, it's always wise to tell people, man, be careful.
Right.
So, the reverse event is tonight at the Lodge.
It is.
And the workshop that David John Oates of ReverseSpeech.com is going to be doing, is that this Sunday?
It's Halloween Day from 9 to 5.
At the same lodge.
Yes, and there are a lot of people that I hear are coming. And like I say, it's $165, but the ticket's well worth it. If you have that set aside and saved, you will have an experience that you've never that will blow you away, because there are more things to reverse speech than just happily reversing politicians and rock stars. In fact, we've been trying to... get stuff on the Karen Horman case, but Terry Horman has been just shut down. You can't find anything on her.
For folks out there, this has been the long-running missing child case here in Portland now for months and months.
Because David was involved with reversing the JonBenet Ramsey, JonBenet Ramsey's mother, and there are reversals all through her that say that she witnessed the attack. She was there when the attack happened. You assume that it was her, but then again, we also are thinking that maybe someone else was involved that she knew, and she's basically kept her mouth shut. Now she's dead. But maybe she didn't do it, but maybe she witnessed it, and she didn't say anything.
But then that leads up to Sunday night on your live show that broadcasts live out of Portland here at KUFO 101.1 FM.
Right.
This is something called the Edison Enigma.
Yeah. Many people don't know that, maybe they do if they read my stuff, but I used to, when I first did Ground Zero, I called it cult radio. And the reason why is because I came up with this idea of about a guy who is a DJ who hears voices when his radio station shuts down, and he wants to tell the entire world that if they turn down, if they were just not broadcast anything over their transmitters, that the Earth would go quiet and aliens would arrive. And because they would go, what the hell happened to this planet? They're not noisy anymore. Well, when I did that, it was basically a reverse idea of what Edison was talking about, because Edison had said that if with radio appropriated and telephone appropriated and all these things that he was basically stealing from other inventors, Tesla's stuff and electrocuting elephants and having cats boxing and all kinds of stupid things, he had come up with the idea that if you had enough power and enough light and enough radiated power, that you could punch a hole into the ionosphere and actually contact the dead, and that certain things could get through. And now HARP is doing that all the time.
I was just about to say.
They're heating. That's Tesla technology, but of course Edison had the same idea. But while we're doing it to heat up the atmosphere, Edison wanted to do it by some simple means of taking the radio spectrum and smearing it into the sky and then broadcasting it through little boxes and getting the dead to speak to us from the other side or some entity that's out there somewhere. Well, there was I was reading about these types of technologies that were patterned after Edison's idea, and one is called Frank's Box. And Frank's Box was a radio that was manipulated in order to create the same effect of white noise and smear barrage. And a friend of mine, Jonathan Burgess, who is a handyman idea guy, I said to him, I wish there was a way that I could make a box, and I wouldn't have to go and buy one because they don't sell them, really. And I said, I'd like to make a box. And so we did some searching. We found that there was this Radio Shack radio. It's very rare that this exists. It's a small white radio. It's a digital radio. If you go in and you clip a transistor in it or something, it causes the dial not to stop on a radio station. It just smears through it back and forth really fast. So we're getting split-second radio scanning. And so I said to him, I said, so this creates the white noise barrage effect. So if we were to take this and set it in a room with a speaker and call out, the spirits could manipulate that, the theory that Edison had. They can manipulate those frequencies to speak to us, correct? And we're thinking, yeah, okay, so let's give it a shot. So we tried it, and we spoke out to the ether, and we said, is there anybody out there? Is there anybody listening to us? And then we listened back on the computer, and sure enough, EVPs started emerging out of the static. So we were hearing ghost voices, and they were voices that could not be broadcast at all because, I mean, it's just, and they were answering our questions. Is there anybody out there? Yes, I'm here. And this isn't, you know, it was just amazing. And then there was one where we got, I got a recording of, I said, is there anybody out there and can they speak to us? And some guy replied, the people out there can't hear that, or the people out there can't hear us. And so I was going, okay, this is something that is just remarkable. And I did a show, and I don't know if, zeropointradio.com would rerun it because it would show. I did a show with Jonathan in my own home where we were doing the experiment live on the air. And I said to him, I think maybe I had said to him, I says, it's too bad I'm not on a transmitter somewhere where I could use thousands of watts of power to broadcast this strange static and white noise and barrage through the air, and that maybe every single radio within the range of this broadcast could pick up a ghost voice, call me, and tell me they're hearing the ghost voices. So that was sitting in the back of my mind for a long time. Well, what had happened is that I was thinking about it. We didn't have a radio that had been fixed because I gave one to my girlfriend's son because he wanted a radio to listen to, and she had one. And so they've got two ghost radios and didn't even realize it. But I had Jonathan make another one, and I had talked with Mike Tellinger about frequencies that were used during 250,000 years ago with the inhabitants of South Africa. And he was talking about how they were taking the same type of concept and using it to create light and using it to create electricity. And he said, so your concept of using the same type of frequencies of the Earth to shoot up into the atmosphere at 100,000 watts and bring it back down to every radio could produce a voice or produce some sort of sound or something where people will all be able to hear different things. He says, you got to give it a shot. And so I said, okay. So we got the radio. David John Oates just happened to be in town. Reed McClintock, who is an illusionist, hypnotist, more hypnosis than anything else. He's a great magician as well. I wanted him to sit in on it because what he's going to do is he's going to be there to get us in the mindset to listen and to try and interpret. I'm going to be there to I'm going to be demonstrating how this worked before with some of the results we had last year. And Jonathan's going to be there to talk about what he did. And then at midnight, when they say the veil is at its thinnest, we're going to shoot that sound into the sky through that transmitter for a few minutes just so it can be coming through. We're going to ask people to call out to their radios or turn up their radios or do whatever they need to do and pay attention to hear if they hear anything coming through. And if they hear anything, then we want them to call us and tell us.
Now, is this just the terrestrial signals that you're talking about? From Zero Point Radio?
Well, the situation with Zero Point Radio is this. We are broadcasting from KUFO at 100,000 watts. That hugs the Earth because FM signals are line of sight. So anyone within line of sight of KUFO will get the signal and they will hear it and they can interpret it as ghost voices if they hear any. Zero Point Radio now has... R.F. Burns, who runs Zero Point Radio, had contacted me. And he said to me, he said, we have a transmitter. This is how you're live on AM. We have a transmitter in Casper, Wyoming. That transmitter is only 5 watts right now, but we can jack it to 5 to 50,000, at least for while you're doing the signal and bring it back down again. That's a combined frequency level of 150,000 watts, and that's more than HARP. Okay, so we're going to have 150,000 watts combined One will be a signal that will hug the Earth, and one will be a signal that will shoot around everywhere and maybe get into Skip, which may wind up somewhere else on the planet.
Skip, what's that?
There's a phenomenon when they're using AM radio. Sometimes AM radios can be picked up for miles. In fact, here in Portland, you can get KSL radio in Salt Lake City because an AM signal is very powerful, and if it's 50,000 watts, it takes up into the atmosphere, and it goes forever. It doesn't go the curvature of the Earth. It bounces around forever. So we may wind up with a broadcast of that signal at the North Pole or as far south as Mexico or wherever. Plus, we have online, which we're going to be simulcasting that online. We just got word that Fate Radio, which is based on Fate Magazine, an additional 40,000 possible listeners to this that are going to be able to contact those people and tell them to listen to their radios or listen to their computers. And with the additional power that is going to be provided by this transmitter in Casper, Wyoming, they're calling it Operation Friendly Ghost. So we have the Edison Enigma.
I had seen that name, but it just now finally dawned on me.
Yeah, it's Casper, Wyoming. So they're calling it Operation Friendly Ghost. We'll be contacting ghosts in Casper, Wyoming, trying to contact ghosts in Portland, Oregon, and hopefully around the entire world where people are going to hear something within the whole barrage of sound and static using a white noise frequency loop to try and contact the dead and using 175,000 watts of power to do so, or 150,000 watts of
power. And this is live on the radio Sunday night.
Live on the radio
Halloween.
Sunday night Halloween. It's going to be a big event. We want everybody to spread the word. Tune in to ZeroPointRadio.com. It'll be 10 p.m. It's midnight Eastern time, and then figure it out. It's actually 10 p.m. Pacific time. So
yeah, so that's 1 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock Eastern. Yeah,
so it'll be one a.m. Eastern. Scary night for the East Coast.
Yes, it is, because I mean, and people are saying, well, it's not midnight in my area where you're going to be doing this. It's going to be 3 a.m. in New York when we're doing it.
Uh-huh.
3 a.m. is the witching hour. So between midnight and 3 is that time period where the veil's thinnest. Because that's, I mean, 3 a.m. used to be midnight in some cultures. So we're going from midnight to midnight, pretty much. So, I mean, that whole time, midnight to 3, that whole three-hour period, the differential is going to be, it doesn't matter because it's going to go in the right time. And I think people are going to experience something.
And that, for me, and again, where you've tied in with Tesla and Edison, those are the things that, again, kind of, I guess, reassure my skepticism a little bit, as we've kind of discussed, that these things are based in a historical setting.
Well, and you got to think about this.
And you
too.
Don't think of people like Edison and Tesla as crazy nut job conspiracy theorists.
Well, and think about this too. In the Bible, it said, and think about what I just talked about. It said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does that mean to you?
I was always told growing up at the church that I always took it to mean the Bible, that basically in the beginning was God's word, the will of God, and that's all that ever needed.
How about this? How about when God made, or when the gods made the world, because they said, let us go down. The word was resonance. There was a resonant frequency that went through the cosmos that created the earth. And that resonant frequency created light. Let there be light. What was it that Edison said? That if we were to take the powers of resonance, the powers of frequencies, focus them on a certain area, and use light, we would be able to contact the other world. So if we're doing an experiment that Edison wanted to do, we're doing the same experiment that they want to do at CERN, except they're smashing stuff together. And not only that, but you look at things like the Ark of the Covenant. What was that all about? It was a capacitor used as a two-way radio. Mm-hmm. And what did they do in Babylon when they wanted to communicate with God or communicate with the spirits? They built a tower, and they built it high. Now, what do we do when we want to communicate with people over vast areas of the world?
Build high towers or even launch them out.
And radio towers, yes. And we launch rockets into the sky to bring satellites. And we do all of that with the powers and the resonance that exists on this planet. And that's why we have people in Charlie Chaplin films with cell phones and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's crazy, but it's true that there is more to our living. I mean, we think that we have it all, that we've done it all. But I'm thinking that what I'm doing is I'm not doing something evil. I'm doing something to remind people that there's something more out there than just us there may be spirits out there, mm. both living and dead, or that haven't been born yet, that are dead or maybe haven't been born yet, that are looking out for our welfare. And I don't see any harm in that at all.
So for folks out there, I hope they found this interesting. So maybe folks who follow Media Monarchy have never checked out Ground Zero Media. And again, to the folks who would say that, oh, I'm ruining Media Monarchy credibility by having your UFO stuff on there, I ultimately like to support alternative media that I enjoy. And that includes you, and that includes James Corbett, and that includes Richard Grove and Peace Revolution and those sort of loose collective of folks that, again, not a part of any group.
I don't feel that my credibility is lessened when I decide that I want to get people to think about things other than the crap that they are always constantly getting mm-hmm. fed. I don't make any outrageous statements that I believe everything. I say, consider this. Consider the possibility. What's it going to hurt you mm-hmm. if at midnight on Halloween night I send a signal that's through 150,000 watts of power and something does get through to the radio? Something does get through to you and you realize, wait a minute, there's something out there bigger than I am. Maybe I should start thinking about what's important, and rather than having to get myself caught up in the paradigm of Dancing with the Stars or American Idol or
Rally to Restore Sanity.
Yeah, or the Rally to Restore Sanity, or whether or not Sarah Palin is stupid or Christine O'Donnell's a witch. You know, when it really comes down to it, it's our spiritual side that we need to take care of, because the apocalypse starts inside of you. Armageddon starts inside of you before it ever becomes a physical entity, because the word or what resonates in you comes out in your words, in your speech, in your vocabulary. And sometimes words can kill, they can hurt, they can create, you know, like they say in the movie V for Vendetta, ideas and words are eternal. You can't kill them. So keep in mind that it all starts in the resonant. It starts in your unconscious. It comes up through your conscious. You focus it. And we're going to take chaotic noise and sounds and frequencies. We're going to send them up there. And we're hoping that something organizes it in your radio. And it will. I can guarantee it.
All that is coming down this weekend, my friends. It's an amazing Halloween weekend. Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Media, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. The time flies by.
Well, thank you, too. And I'm hoping that, you know, there are people out there who think that your credibility is being damaged, that your credibility is never, ever going to be damaged. Because I think that what you do as a data miner and a person who reports this stuff is amazing. I'm a fan. I've been a fan from when I first discovered you. And, you know, I really appreciate your putting my crazy ideas up there. But still, I mean, there's a lot of method to my madness. And I'm mm-hmm. hoping I'm giving people something more to chew on than just the black and white. I think there are mm-hmm. places where you can go where you can explore the margins. And it's fun to explore the margins.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's perfect for now. And again, yes. all these things that we're kind of staring down the barrel of. And I have to be careful that I don't fall victim to all the crazed things that I'm sitting here looking at all the news going, oh my God, I know something stupid's going to happen this weekend. There's going to be some election snafu, or there's going to be some dirty bomb, or there's like, oh God, you know, I tend to worry about it because I feel like I watch the memes enough to say this is the perfect time.
History's an algorithm. People say it isn't, but I think it is. I think you take a look at history and you look at what happens. I mean, heck, always remember 9/11 was on election day. It happened on an election day.
Mm.
And, you know, they were electing, I think they were doing something for mayor in New York. They're uh-huh. having a special election call.
Uh-huh. For Rudy.
Yeah, for Rudy. And this happens. And then, you know, and so we're getting close to another election where it's very important. They always say every election is the most uh-huh. vital election of our uh-huh. life. Well, you know, we're having gunmen in Washington, D.C. right now that are causing all kinds of trouble. And,
So I just brought the Google News page back up that we referenced at the top of the show now 2 hours ago, and now these stories have ballooned even larger. FBI probes packages on UPS jets. Toner unit shows no explosives. That's the scary headline.
And I always remember that I had an informant tell me that in Washington, between the window of the 13th and the 20th, there was going to be something that was going to happen. And what happened is we had the shootings going on at the Pentagon,
uh-huh.
and no one really reported all that. But then we also had that kid or that guy in Carlsbad say, this is all a drill and these are blanks. They're preparing for something, and they're programming these sleepers to jump in and do the work mm-hmm. for them. And
Sirhan, any of those.
And if you think that ruins his credibility by me reporting this, okay, then that's not, because I was right. I said something was going to happen. Something did happen, and it's because I was informed by credible news sources that are credible and independent. I mean, you. My background is CNN. My background is Metro News. I'm a newsman, but I entertain with the news that I entertain with, and so I'm an entertainer and journalist. I don't make excuses for that at all, because I feel that what I'm doing is important and vital to not only entertain you with ideas, but get your imaginations going, get your brains thinking outside the box, and that's what I try to do.
So, folks, all of this wouldn't really be possible without all of your support out there. So, again, we implore you, if you find any of these alternative media outlets, whether it's myself or Clyde or James or any of them, please donate. And to think about, you know, the price for a virtual ticket for your event tonight, $5.
$5 to have something that's going to make you think and make you wonder. And I actually tell
people... Or you
could
get a beer.
Well, yeah. I actually tell people that ZeroPointRadio.com, they need your donations, because they're doing this out of the goodness of their hearts, getting this information out from James to what I do to what everybody else does. And, you know, if you feel up to... If you enjoy or are entertained by what I talk about and you think I'm not too crazy... And you want to keep me breathing. I don't have any insurance, and a lot of my cancer bills are the things that, I mean, I'm right now working from day to day to pay my cancer bills anymore. And in fact, I'm actually living right now with someone who, out of the goodness of their heart, have given me a place to live, because both my girlfriend and I had to part our ways. I mean, we love each other, we're still together, but we had to part living together to afford to live. And she's got a little boy, and so what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to rebuild my life. After cancer, I'm trying to rebuild everything, and it's difficult to rebuild. And a lot of people who have cancer could probably understand what I'm talking about. When you beat the odds, there's a lot of responsibility involved. And so if you like what I'm doing, if you go to my website and you enjoy reading what I write, if you like the shows that I do, if you even care about what's going on, I would suggest an ask humbly, because I hate asking for money, because what I do, I think everybody needs to know about. But if you can, like, spare maybe $5 or something, like... And I'm going to work with you and Tracy Twyman on a show in the future where I want to talk about the unbelievable cost of emotion and whatever we do to get this stuff out to people, and how it needs to be returned in kind. And I'm not saying that we're begging for anything, but what I'm saying is, take into consideration the time that James puts into his shows. Take into consideration the time and effort that goes into a lot of these things we provide free... And, you know, and every once, and you take it and you do with it what you will. But see, anymore, information is free, but the people that are producing it can go away. And when they do go away, you'll always say, well, whatever happened to, well, what happened to them was
they couldn't do it anymore.
They couldn't do it anymore.
So, my friends, we're pretty much out of time here. That's the word we want to leave with you. And again, we're all connected, whether we want to be or not.
That's right.
And we're all going to have to get a whole hell of a lot more connected on our own terms before things get out of control and we're getting against each other on their terms.
Right. Love is the answer, and I know it conquers all, and it's not some mamby-pamby thing to say or Pollyanna thing to say. It's love. It's tolerance. It's learning that we do have differences, but with our differences, we can find ourselves in a place where we find common ground. I call it ground zero. I've called it that since 1995, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on this program.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it, and I will definitely be at the event tonight. So again, folks, groundzeromedia.org, zeropointradio.com. This has been Clyde Lewis joining me in studio October 29th, 2010. This has been the 192nd episode of Media Monarchy. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media. Become the media. Take care.
MediaMonarchy.com is your source for alternative news, politics, conspiracies, and cover-ups. Featuring weekly radio shows on the Portland Radio Authority, VRAradio.org, the New World Nexus video series with CorbettReport.com, plus special interview episodes, B-sides, mixtapes, and so much more. Send news tips to MediaMonarchy@gmail.com. You can make a donation or mail media to the Monarchy at P.O. Box 12165, Portland, Oregon 97212. Thanks to all the internet and community radio stations who broadcast these shows, and most of all, thanks to you. Remember, don't hate the media, become the media.
Whether he went on with the diary, or whether he did not go up with it, made no difference. The thought police would get him just the same.